know. You all the time.
Yeah. maybe for once you should.
Greetings, Afropossy, and buckle up for the sex. Fuck. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And we're gonna.
Yeah.
We're gonna. Yay.
We need something to drink first.
Yeah. I want booze.
We have sake.
Yay, sake.
This one is Mura premium sake infused with pear essence. Pear orchard.
Most of the time I'm not a pear person, but sake probably lends itself pretty well to pear.
Why isn't it just infused with pear? How do you infuse with pear essence?
You sit them in front of, you put the pear into a little, like an iron chair in front of the dark crystal.
For serious, what does that mean, infused with pear essence? Why isn't it
means
just,
it was shown a picture of a pear and told to study the pear?
Like, why don't they just say infused with pear?
It's,
or pear flavor.
It's pear shampoo.
Oh.
Herbal essences.
But it's, oh but my pear God, isn't
no,
a herb.
No.
It doesn't have to be.
You say it with an H.
Because there's a fucking herb. H in it. Yeah.
It's a fucking H in it. Okay.
Yeah.
But that would be fructal.
I'm going to drink this.
Fructis essence.
Yes.
I'm going to drink this.
All right. Hey, Opa.
Opa. Is that what you say when you drink sake? Oh. Yeah, I don't know what pear essence is, but that's definitely there. It's all right, though. Like, the sake actually balances pretty well with it.
I think I want this one warm.
You could. Oh. The serving suggestion is cold, but I think we should also try it warm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could do. Porque no los dos.
I love a hot sake.
Right, but I'm honestly on the fence about it cold.
Oh, tastes like sake. And pear essence.
But it tastes...
A little peary?
I was expecting a more forward flavor on it.
Sure.
Huh.
I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't this.
You're expecting it to walk up and be like, hey, baby.
Yeah. I want sake to seduce me.
Yeah.
And then punch me in the face and steal my wallet. That's what I want sake to do.
Huh.
You know, I'll just take your money. Ooh, I owe you money and I have it,
by the way. You do.
Ooh.
I don't officially own that chair yet.
Nope.
But I will in a minute. speaking of... Yeah. I last week purchased a chaise lounge.
A house lounge?
A chaise lozenge.
Oh. Does Shay know that you have their lounge?
God damn it. Also known as just a lounger, I guess.
Oh, that thing. Yeah, okay.
Apparently.
A half couch.
Yeah.
Or lounger.
No. Nobody pronounces it that way, Salsa.
At least one person just did.
Look, it's
like I said, nobody pronounces it that way.
Oh, good.
Oh, my God. That's why he wants to hear it. Anyway, so I was meandering through Facebook Marketplace, as I am wont to do. And so then I do it because impulses. And I happened to see a red velvet lounger.
Oh.
We'll go that way.
It's lounger.
No, it's not.
You don't say jif, you say gif.
No, it's not heef.
It's not lounger. It's a lounger.
Oh my God. You wish it was lounger.
You're right. Yeah. It is pretty short, actually.
It's kind of short, but here's the thing.
We're shorter than I was expecting.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I have wanted a red velvet, very specifically a red velvet lounger. Lounger.
Lounger?
Oh my God, no. I need to leave. I drove. You're on your own, asshole. So,
I'm on my own, asshole.
That's accurate.
Technically, yes,
you are.
Yeah. The best kind of correct.
Oh, God. So I've wanted a red velvet lounger for a while. like a couple of years at least. Mm-hmm. But didn't have a place for it. Didn't, you know. They're very pricey overall. Mm. Like usually like $500 or so. Mm-hmm. And I was meandering through Facebook Marketplace and this one lounger popped up. Red velvet. Mm-hmm. Like a nice kind of almost burgundy red velvet.
Burgundy.
Yeah. Somewhere in between burgundy and brick, actually. It's it's kind of neat. And so I was like, ooh, I'm not supposed to buy anything this month. But that is $100.
Yeah.
For something that'll normally go for $5.
Gotta know when to break the rules.
I think I'm going to have to go do this. So I messaged the guy. I'm like, hey, is your lounger still available? And Salsa's so happy right now.
Is this any lounger available?
Oh, my God. Get the fuck
this,
out.
Is this any lounger available? Jesus.
Sorry. My mistake.
And the guy was like, yes. And I said, I would like to purchase this. And he's like, can you get it before 2 o'clock tomorrow? And I was like, no. I'm like, well, first, where do you live? And he said, Blaine. And I went, fuck you, no. Like, because I was thinking I could do it over a lunch break.
Yeah.
I can't Blaine and back in a lunch break. That's not happening.
I can't Blaine and back in a lunch
no,
break.
No, no, I was...
Yep. There's a, that's a,
there, there's a, there's something there.
Yeah. For the ages, yeah.
So anyway, so I was like, I could pick it up the following Sunday. I'll be in Fridley. Like, that would be an easy time for me to pick it up. Mm. But, like, there are other possibilities. And it's like, Sunday might work. If you can do it before 5. And I went, fuck. No, I can't do it before 5. And it felt like he was going to start backing out of this thing. Mm. The scheduling was being tricky.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a Facebook post. And some asshole was like, well, I'm unemployed right now and bored off my ass. I'm paraphrasing. So I can go get it. So we did. And it lived in Salsa's garage for a couple of days.
Oh, that was me.
Yeah. Yeah.
His correct title at the moment is Hapless Schlub.
Ooh.
That's...
fairly
he
hapful.
Has some hap.
Okay, hapful schlub.
Hapful schlub.
Yep. I'm
that's a business
I'm
card.
I'm not hapful either, but I have hap.
He has hap.
I have the right amount of hap.
Is the salsa hapful or hap empty?
I know you can be overwhelmed, and I know you can be underwhelmed, but can you just be whelmed?
I'm just hap at the moment.
The correct answer is yes, you can. That's what? Very literally.
Yes.
That was a movie quote.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Which one?
Was it Mean Girls?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
It sounds like a Mean Girls one, but it's not.
It does. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of, you can't just ask people why they're white, Gretchen. That's yes. Mean Girls. Okay.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Ah.
Anyway, so yeah, thing. Thanksgiving, I came over to Salsa's for a Friendsgiving feast, as we've done for several years at this point.
Quite a while now.
And Salsa chucked it into the back of my car and I brought it home.
And the rest is a magical history.
So, the other thing is that it fits perfectly.
Mm.
Into my side corner.
Real nice and Kentucky,
like,
in that side corner.
Perfectly.
What part of the body is the side corner, Salsa?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh.
I don't either.
Hmm.
But it's probably your left elbow. So anyway.
Ooh. Kinky.
So, yeah. Joe helped me get it in the house. Because I have all the stairs, and it was just easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we put it in that corner, and then there was a chair there that I had to get rid of. Because, you know, I had a chair But now the lounger goes there. So what do I do with this chair? And it's matching chair. There were two chairs that I was like, I should get rid of these because...
You should pawn them up on some other hapless idiot.
Yeah, someone who maybe has just recently moved into their new house.
That seems like a really good idea. That idiot probably needs furniture.
Probably, actually. You
know, we do this podcast thing, and then we ostensibly go our separate ways. But somehow shit like this keeps happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. So, Jenna, thanks for the chairs, by the way.
Yeah, you're very welcome for that. So, yeah. Dropped off those chairs with James. There's another chair that I do want to get where the second chair used to be. Kind of across from the long hair. But right now that's where my Christmas tree is going to be. And I really shouldn't buy anything else right now. And I'm going to be pretty specific about that chair because I want a chair and a half.
So you can curl your feet under you bisexually.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Yeah. Bisexuals sit funny. That is a stereotype that is accurate.
Correct. We all do.
Yes.
Like on your shoulder? Like what?
I mean, sometimes.
Well, like, okay, so you know you're supposed to sit in an office chair with your legs going like in front of you and all nice and proper like.
Maybe on one of those wedge things.
Or if you sit down on a couch, you might sit with your feet on the floor, but like this a bit.
No.
Today we found out that Salsa was bisexual.
How do you sit on a couch?
Any number of ways.
Yep.
Yeah, secretly bisexual.
Yeah, we hate to break it to you, but...
this is how we learned.
Yep, this is how we found out.
No, it's because I'm ADHD, fuckers.
I suppose there could be sensory things that are attributed as well. But, yeah. It's a huge, rather accepted stereotype in the bisexual community. Yeah.
Yep.
Also, are you a flannel bisexual or a sweater bisexual? I am a sweater bisexual.
Oh, I'm also a sweater bisexual.
Yeah. They're stereotypes that we accept. We're just like, yeah, that exists. Anyway, so yeah, weird chairs are kind of a side bit of that bisexual stereotype that we accept. We just sit weird. So we need weird chairs for sitting. Weirdly. So that was all of my furniture juggling.
No.
I also, like I said, I pulled out my Christmas stuff for the first time in 8 years, which was a little happy and sad. The Christmas stuff that I have, I actually bought with Jessa when she was like, 5-ish. We were living in a house at the time and I had gotten a job that got me off of welfare and I was like, we're going to buy something frivolous. Like Christmas stuff. So she and I had gone shopping together and she had picked out some ornaments that actually coordinated really well with what I was doing. And
seems right.
Yeah. I have a burgundy gold theme on my Christmas decorations and she picked out a burgundy and gold decoration. It's a little pillow that says joy. It's adorable.
Aww.
Yeah. So, and she told me she didn't like certain things. Like, yeah, it was a mother-daughter shopping for Christmas things experience for the both of us. And so I pulled those out for the first time in 8 years because Christmas has been kind of a thing for me. And I was like, I'm going to decorate. I'm living in a house that I like, that I don't plan on going anywhere for a while, so I'm going to decorate for Christmas. Oddly... a lot of the lights still worked.
Hey!
But not, like, consistently. Like, so for some of them, it was a little patchy. And then one of them, like, I plugged them in, and they didn't go, and then they suddenly went. And I was concerned. So maybe. I'm like, I think I'm just not going to use these. That's concerning.
Mm.
But like, there's still like two strings that I was just like, well, excellent. Guess I don't need to replace these ones then.
Fantastic.
Right. But I'm digging through these. And like I said, it's been about 8, maybe even 9 years since I've looked through these decorations.
Mm-hmm.
And I found two things that made me a little, one of them was Jess's old Christmas stocking.
Hmm.
She had given up on Christmas before I did, I think. She was born a 40-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
The Christmas stocking had her dead name on it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oof, okay, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was a Christmas stocking with Bill's name on it. And it went, aww. That's right. The last time I've had these decorations up, Bill was still alive. So, yeah. In fact, I think the last time I had the decorations up, Bill and I were still living together and married. Yep. So, it's been a while.
Been a while.
Yeah, so I don't know what the hell to do with those, but we'll figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I've gotten about half of my decorations up. I was going full steam on Saturday, and then I saw a mouse in my yard, not in the house.
Oh.
Which is better, but still not great. So suddenly everything turned into spraying mouse deterrent all over the place and trying to find places where I could make sure mice didn't come in, kind of a thing. And then just decompressing from having glanced at a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, what do? I'm like, this. So yeah, I kind of got stopped. But then after that, we went to see Very Die Hard Christmas.
Oh.
Tickets sold out, bitches.
Yeah.
Sorry. But yeah, we saw it for the first time last year, actually. Mm-hmm, and they had a couple of casting changes because one of their actors is now out in California. And his agent was like, I can't sell you to places if you're going to be in Minneapolis doing essentially a fringe show. Come on, buddy. Work with me.
When you were a child, you spake as a child, but now it is time to put aside childish things.
And it is very childish, but still hilarious.
Oh, yes.
I'm looking forward to it. I managed to get two tickets for next Saturday.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I'm super pumped.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Well, then I'm going to say very little about it. One thing I will say... So the guy that plays John McClane, his name is Josh, and he and I are exactly 3 days apart in age.
Huh.
He's 3 days younger than me.
Mm.
So, he's doing all of this stuff and he's like, oh my God, we wrote this script 10 years ago. I'm 43 now. Ugh. And he's like winded and stuff and all of this, and like he kept making cracks about being 43. And after the show, I go up to him and I'm like, my name's Josh, and I'm 43. Many, many, many. Fucker.
Uh-huh.
Like, you want to do some stage combat now? A little fencing? I could teach you how to belly dance? Come on, let's do this.
Uh-huh.
Buck up, 43.
You're only as old as I feel.
Right. So, yeah, we saw that. Had some people over on Friday for my anti-Black Friday board game extravaganza. It was a small but mighty crew. One of the people that showed up was a guy I used to date named Matt. And he and his wife got married 2013.
Oh.
2013. And I married them.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill actually did all of the DJing and stuff for them off of an iPod shuffle. It was great. But yeah, so like they're mm-hmm. good people. I did a short film with him, some other things, like just a good guy. but I figured out why he and I never worked.
Oh.
He brought some booze to my house.
Oh.
He's a Malort guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
On purpose?
He didn't bring booze to your house.
He brought curse.
Poison to your house.
Yeah.
He pulled that. I was like, no. No, you put that back and you put it back in your car.
Get that shit out of my house.
Drive it to Chicago where somebody wants it.
Dump it in the fucking river.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the fish bob to the surface as you kill them.
Yeah. So anyway, I let him have his bottle of Malort, but I told him he had to bring it home with him.
Yes.
He is not leaving that shit at my place.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he empties the bottle, which mm-hmm. he did.
Oh.
On purpose?
Yes. Oh,
into the toilet?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Is your toilet okay?
So two things happened. number one, our friend Eli was there and had never had Malort and opted for the experience and is against. We don't have to hate Eli. Oh, it's fine.
Okay.
They're fine.
Okay.
They were like, oh man, it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah,
too,
no, huh? I was deeply concerned for them.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But then, a little while later, one of Joe's friends, Sean, showed up. You've hung out with Sean.
Yes.
Yes. Sean is also a Malort person.
Well, that checks out.
So the two of them, between them both, finished,
mm-hmm.
I think, an entire bottle of Malort.
Ugh. Oh.
It hurts me.
I don't know.
It hurts me.
I don't know.
At some point, do you just become broken enough? Okay, a lot of that makes sense now. Okay.
Oh yeah. God.
Their dads didn't love them. Or maybe loved them too much.
So anyway, there was Malort at my house.
I'm so sorry.
And they finished it, and I made him take that goddamn bottle. Yeah. I was like, you are not leaving that bottle in my house. You take that with you.
Yep.
But also, he left me a bottle of Peaty Scotch.
Oh, okay.
So,
well,
it's like,
so
all right.
He is possessed of good taste.
No, he actually dropped it off with me because neither him nor his wife liked it.
Oh.
And they went, Jenna likes peaty stuff. And I was like, I do like peaty stuff. I will take this scotch.
Fuck is
so
wrong.
I mean,
he's a very nice guy and everybody's got to have a few flaws. I guess.
Some flaws are bigger than others.
I mean, I don't have any flaws, but like most people
we've met,
need to have flaws. So
someone has to make up for you.
So yeah, that happened. But it was a lovely, lovely bit of gaming. We played the Happiness and Cyanide game.
Oh.
Laughing. Something like, I don't remember the name of it, but basically it's like Cards Against Humanity, mm-hmm, except mm-hmm. with cartoon frames, with different things in the frames, and you're given, so the deck gives you one frame, and then the judge gets to add another frame to start a three-frame
thing. It's something like erectile dysfunction
then,
or something.
No, that's different. It's laughing something.
Anyway.
Erectile dysfunction is a different game. I've sadly played it.
She had a date like that once.
That's exactly what I was implying. Well done. And then the third, for the third frame, everybody puts in a frame and then the judge selects what the winning one is. Much like Cards Against Humanity or Apples to Apples, right? It was a delightful game.
Yeah.
And it was great because we had people in and out, and so they could join or then not, or fuck off, or whatever. Mm-hmm. My table was just big enough for everybody.
Ooh.
I know, right?
Perfect.
Big-ass gaming table. Very happy with it.
Hell yeah.
I did take a hot second to look it up on a series of tubes. The name is Joking Hazard.
Joking Hazard. There
it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's halfway between our answers.
Yeah. No, mine was way closer.
Oh. Yeah.
It was.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It really was.
Okay.
Yeah. You're wrong, and you are going to be wrong, James.
Well, yes.
Okay. I'm closer.
Oh, okay.
That's important.
Ah.
Yeah.
You're missing the important part of this.
Ah, my mistake.
Incredibly doesn't even fucking matter thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm closer to right.
What else did you play?
That was it, actually. Oh. We only played that one, but we played it for a few hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was much more of a social group than a gaming group. So it was something you could do while talking and stuff, which is honestly way more my speed anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we did that. And then right after everybody left, Dante Benjagurtis showed up.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had to work. He was doing a show. So he stopped by after the show. And we spent the rest of the night talking about stage combat.
Nice.
Are Dante's pronouns he or they?
I believe he. I'm not 100% certain.
I think maybe they.
Okay. Yes. Last I thought, it was he. Like, I didn't hear anything different, but... I don't know. I'll check with him them later.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
No, sounds like a good time.
Yeah, no, it was lovely. And then working backwards from that, Thursday I went to a couple of Friendsgivings. One of them was just hanging out. There was a taco bar. Another one was a full fucking meal. And Joe helped with the meal.
Mm.
And it was tasty.
Nice.
The end. Yeah. Salsa, did you do a Friendsgiving thing?
I did. I actually had 4 Thanksgivings in 4 days.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I probably gained a lot of weight. My stomach. I still feel full today.
Excellent.
We had Friendsgiving on Thursday. My wife and I started doing a Friendsgiving for people who did not have relatives in the area or, were basically alone for the holiday.
Right.
And she's like, hey, come over, have food. And it started pretty small and has grown a bit.
Aww.
So we have a big Friendsgiving on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm.
We had all the food.
Those beef Wellingtons were real good.
Yeah. We had beef Wellington instead of turkey or ham.
Mm-hmm.
We had the soup that Joe made.
Yeah, the butternut squash soup.
Oh, was God good. Damn.
I made...
which I had some. It has cream in it. Didn't matter. It was amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was so good.
Mm-hmm. I made a syrupless pecan tart.
Hmm.
Which was fantastic, and I made a sweet potato pie, and we had, all of the usual, green bean casserole.
Oh, and I made cornbread.
Yep, cornbread. We had a full fucking spread.
My mouth is watering.
And then I made a syllabub for dessert, which went over fucking great.
I'm sure it was
amazing. I know,
amazing.
I'm sorry. A syllabub is cream that has been curdled with lemon or citrus. However, what you do is it's basically cream and sugar and white port.
Mm.
And so, it's boozy. But then you add the lemon juice, the orange juice while it's being whipped.
Oh, sure.
So it curdles the cream while it's whipping.
Okay.
So you get this really fluffy, almost like whipped cream consistency, but you get that slightly acidic.
It's like if a cement mixer wasn't solid.
What?
Like
cement mixer drink.
Shot.
I don't.
Wasn't,
but
didn't
I don't
just solidify.
I don't know that much about them.
Sorry.
So, yeah.
It exists.
Yeah. I just.
So it's. But it's.
One.
It's basically like a glass of whipped cream, but it's boozy and sweet, and it's got that acidity to it, and it's so fucking good.
That does sound really good.
Holy shit, was it good. It was one of the recipes that I picked up from Tasting History with Max Miller. You may have heard us talk about it before. It was so good, I made it the next day for another Thanksgiving. The Friday one was at a friend's house. They just got back from Mexico a few days ago, so they had theirs. Their Thanksgiving was slightly less
full,
robust than it has been in the past, but everybody still ate well. Because even though he was slightly less robust, we still had like lamb and turkey and all the foods. Yeah, it was really good. And then Saturday, we had Thanksgiving with my wife's mother's family. And that was a bit more of the traditional spread. A lot of food. And then Sunday was Thanksgiving with my wife's father. And that we had pheasant and pork shoulder.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
And I made I made a corn bisque that was fucking amazing.
Your father-in-law knows how to cook.
He does know how to cook. Well, I mean, that like, he actually mentioned, we were, you know, all of the food was amazing, and somebody mentioned the fact that the birds tasted really good, and he was just like, yeah, you know, one of the good things about this family is everything tastes good, you know? Because we all know our way around a stove.
Nice.
So, yeah. Four Thanksgiving meals in 4 days, and I was, oh man, it was, woof. There was
strong work.
A lot of calories were consumed, by all of us, and I, like, lunch today was just like a slice of pie, and that's about it.
And some fetal rocking and crying. Yeah,
it was just like, I'm still full from everything.
Nice.
And then I looked for a job some more. Boo. I'm getting packed. I leave for Seattle in 2 days. So, we'll see what happens.
I kind of had zero, like, or like half a Thanksgiving.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, you were invited to my thing, but...
I was.
You had things going on.
There were many things going on, and also... I was in the hospital for my lungs a while ago, and I'm doing okay. I'm doing better.
I mean, you're here, so I'm excited.
I am, and I can talk without turning inside out, which is progress.
Nice.
So,
do you have an inhaler? Or no?
I do, okay. Yeah. Several.
Helps immensely.
And then...
varieties? Do they come in flavors?
Ooh.
Kind of. But, yeah. I was having a rough time, and then, so I didn't get to do any of the moving out stuff that I had meant to do early in the week to wrap up the old place, and we had people scheduled to come and help us paint at the new place, but we kind of had an emergency that we, you know, it's getting toward the end of the month, our last month paid at that place. Fuck. So... Thursday, my partner and I went over to the old apartment and just looked at stuff. And by the time that we got there, we were kind of already tanked and like just couldn't, we were completely out of energy. It had already been decided because of my health and because of, my father's health, he is also doing much better. That
I didn't realize he was.
Well, he had surgery, and it was planned, and everything's okay.
Okay. Yeah,
so, but he's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Without getting
right. Yeah. Sure.
So, but it was decided for a few reasons that the regular family Thanksgiving would not happen.
Mm. No, completely fair.
So,
holy shit!
Yeah. Yeah. So. We just picked up stuff that we would be able to slide through the oven. So we grabbed one of those like pre-spiced pork loins. We grabbed some mashed potatoes from the deli already prepped.
Yeah.
With gravy, canned green beans, creamed corn from a can, some of those little crunchy onions, and some...
real quick and dirty.
Yeah. And then we put all of that stuff into the oven for an hour, basically. Not all of it all at once, but just like it took about an hour in total. And then we had a hot meal with meats and vegetables and starches and gravy.
I was actually thinking Popeyes.
Oh, yeah. That would have been great, too. Yeah. But
anyway.
Yeah, it was our first meal that we prepared at the new place.
Yeah.
And it was our Thanksgiving dinner. Aww. It was really nice.
Hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, we took the day off and then Friday doubled down our efforts, redoubled our efforts with family and friends to get the old place whipped into shape for the next renter and like really Friday, Saturday, and Sunday were all on that. Just getting that stuff done.
Right.
And also putting together furniture at the new place. And I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
But I've been getting more sleep, which is important.
Good.
And trying to limit my talking to podcasts. Like
God,
this one.
It's too bad you're in like 17 podcasts.
Well, there's this one, and then last week, toward the middle of the week, I ended up by fits and starts recording a horror thing. Godzilla.
Gesundheit.
Recording a horror thing with Jax and Shay and Jeff.
Nice.
And so not exactly sure when that will come out or things like that, but when it does, I'll announce it here. We're pretty fucking excited about it. It was I edited the audio for it, and that was wild. After a little while, muscle memory took over. But, yeah, it required a lot of editing out coughs. And And
you have only yourself to blame for that.
That is true. Yes, actually. Yeah, and having to take frequent breaks and things like that.
Sure.
So it was six different files to stitch together.
Mm.
Not all in the same order. So, yeah. But it felt really good.
Nice.
To get to do that again. Yep.
Doing a thing is good.
Yeah.
So. Should we take a break?
I think we should probably do that.
That sounds really good.
All right.
All right, we're going to do that.
Cool.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
I like stuff.
I want to drink this before it gets cold.
That's fair.
Fine. Green. We're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'd be angry about that, but I really want to get to this drink. I'm Jenna. What are we drinking?
Right. Drinking the same thing, but warm.
Yeah.
All right. It is V-hot.
Mmm.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Yeah, you were right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that pear flavor really opened up.
A little too peary for me.
No.
Huh. Okay. I was going to say it feels more like floral pear than pear fruit.
I mean, I'm still going to drink this because it's hot sake.
Yeah.
And who the fuck am I even? But yeah.
Not your jam? That's fair.
This particular one I preferred cold.
Fuck, I should have been doing this for my cough. Whole month.
I mean, yeah, it's basically a toddy.
Yeah.
Missing out. This and honey.
Well, now you know.
Yeah. So what are we talking about, Salsa?
I found out about something.
I mean, Jenna, Joe and I have been together for like 5 years.
I was going to say, Jenna already told us to start with onions and garlic.
What? Oh, that was Jenna. I thought you said that.
Fuck.
I found out about something, and the world needs to know about this.
Oh, God.
Okay.
It's called Bah Fest.
Tell me it's sheep.
No.
Is it goats?
B-A-H.
Oh.
Exclamation point.
The world's most Scottish event.
Hold on.
Oh.
Bah stands for Bad Ad Hoc Hypothesis.
Okay.
Go on.
This festival is the brainchild of the person who does, you know, the online cartoon Saturday morning breakfast cereal?
Oh, yes.
It's his brainchild.
Oh.
Ooh.
Bah Fest is a festival for people to come and give a presentation on their bad hypothesis.
Ah.
The hypotheses that kind of make sense if you don't think about it too much.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they, it's kind of like some of the panel shows that we do at like Did It Die Laughing or, you know, things like that, where like you present and then you have a panel of judges that kind of score you.
Excellent.
And ask questions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they present their bad ad hoc hypotheses on various topics. And the one that I watched that I need you to see, James.
Yes?
Is it about butts?
Is the hypothesis that dad jokes are an evolutionary feature.
Ooh.
For nest leaving.
Yeah.
Oof.
It's a survival trait.
It is.
Oof.
You need to get the kids out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they're using your resources. They need to get out on their own.
Mm.
And so the dad joke is an evolutionary function of forcing the kids out of the nest.
Fuck, I'm all about this.
It is a fucking brilliant speech that this guy gives. And these are speeches.
I'm already deeply excited about
these. These are speeches. Like, these happen at, like, MIT.
Mm. Ooh.
You know, like, this festival has happened all over the world. It's happened in MIT, in Australia, in London, in all over the place. But it's, like, legitimately fucking smart people.
Oh, yeah.
Doing their quote-unquote scientific paper presentation on this ridiculous hypothesis. And it is brilliant. And they present them with all seriousness. Then the judges, you know, the panel, you know, will have them defend their thesis, ask a few questions, you know, for clarifying points and stuff like that. And then the winner of the whole thing gets a statue I can't remember the name of the chemist. The chemist who is boiling his own urine to try to create gold. You know who I'm talking about.
I don't actually.
Familiar, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the first date answer. I've heard of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is, and here's the thing. They haven't updated their website since COVID.
Okay.
And so part of me is terrified that COVID killed it.
Yeah.
I really hope that is not the case. I hope that is not the case, because I would love to go to one of these someday. But even if it's not, look this shit up on YouTube or online in general.
Okay.
Because it is amazing.
I mean, I feel like there's also a statistically an improbable but possible chance that somebody's absolutely fucking nuts hypothesis will strike gold.
Right.
That they will land on some previously unnoticed, completely stupid law of the universe.
Henning Brand, that's his name.
Henning Brand.
Yeah, the winner of each fest is immortalized by receiving a statue of alchemist Henning Brand boiling his own urine in hopes of producing gold. Huh.
Wait, is the statue of him pissing into a pot?
No, it is. It is okay. Him with a
flask.
Flask, yeah, filled with yellow liquid. But
that's upsetting in the correct way. Well, the guy that does that, Zach Wiener, right, writes Saturday morning breakfast cereal.
It's Zach. Yes, Zach something.
Zach Wiener. Weiner? Weiner?
Wayne? What?
Wiener Smith.
Wiener Smith. Yeah. Ah.
Okay, that's a better name. How
Crafter
is that a better name?
Of fine wieners. of the New Hampshire Wiener Smiths. Zach Wiener Smith is legitimately accredited smart person.
Oh, yeah.
With degrees.
He's like an MIT grad. Yeah.
Right. And then Randall Monroe also.
Yep.
Incredibly funny, but also just startlingly intelligent in several ways. And then there are a couple of folks who do webcomics or have done webcomics who are... Yeah, registered smart persons.
Yeah.
It's like the...
I think this is fucking great.
The XKCD guy.
Yeah. Randall Monroe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, you can be both smart and funny.
I've just never seen it.
Here.
Oh, fuck you. No. I got two of these for you, asshole. It's a matching set.
Here it is.
Fuck off.
Yep. Diego Quinones did the speech on dad joke, an adaptive dispersion mechanism.
That's fucking fantastic.
Here we go. BaFest London 2018. Pietro Salvi. Two birds, one nuke. Counteracting global warming.
Huh. Oh
my God.
Okay. Yeah.
BaFest London 2018. Cuteness as a parasitic strategy.
Ooh.
No, that one I believe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because the cats give you an internal parasite that makes you more likely to fawn over them.
Sure, yeah, but you're taking this too seriously, James. The whole point is to be not.
Okay, but I'm also... Yep. Like, I believe that some of these things will, you know...
Are more true than others.
Strike upon reality.
Oh, here's one for you. BaFest East 2019. Sarah Hurd explains why everyone poops. So anyway, yes, I recommend you checking out BaFest.
So, do either of you have any... half-baked theories?
Hypotheses.
Yes.
What is your bad ad hoc hypothesis?
This one I've had for a very long time, but I believe that instead of the some of the spaces in the 99.9% of all matter that is not electrons, protons,
right,
you know, so forth, the recognized subatomic elements, between those things, there is a particle. It is not dark matter. It is something which acts as a kind of antenna for focus, but that it reacts in an inverse way, so that and throughout time, so that when you are looking for a specific object, it actually exists four-dimensionally, and it will change in some imperceptible way the place that thing ended up.
Okay.
As a means of...
Do you have a for example?
Right. So, your keys.
Mm.
Right? that, and especially objects which are used frequently tend to accumulate these sort of invisible particles, and as you use them more, they become more likely to develop this sort of supercritical formation where they will react to your focused search for them by becoming something else or by altering the timeline so that they are somewhere that you will not look.
I see.
Yeah. But it's also the car wash corollary is that you...
Car wash corollary is the name of my second album.
That's nice. A really good one.
I do like that. But the car wash corollary is that you cannot make your keys appear by looking for your missing remote. You can't you can't simply switch focus, but you can make the original appear by purchasing a new one.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yep.
Because then it gets jealous.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's my intensely stupid theory.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
It's mine
weird and stupid.
Mine is the increase in the incidence of ADHD in humanity is an evolutionary attempt to provide renewable energy in a response to the increasing population and lowering resources therein.
Sure.
We just have to figure out how to harness it.
I like that. Any ideas on how to harness it?
Some, but many of them involve like child labor and slavery, and that's not good yet. So it's a work in progress.
Work in progress,
Look, evolution doesn't care about those things.
That's true.
It's up to us thinking humans to figure out how to utilize them.
Right.
Yes. Hamster wheels.
But like for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Fun hamster wheels.
Fun wheels.
Yes. Isn't that just the tire swing? Oh, those little death merry-go-rounds.
I don't know
why schools haven't attached servos to those a long time ago.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think the best one I have is that Care Bears are evil.
Oh, yeah. I like this.
James has heard this rant before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, so Care Bears are walking, talking teddy bears right away. Inherently evil. They watch you from above, like in the clouds, right? They look down on you. And if they don't like your behavior, they come down to Earth and shoot you with a laser that comes out of their stomach, changing your personality against your will.
Mind control.
It's the Republican right.
Yeah.
In cuddle form and is therefore inherently evil.
Yep.
Yeah.
The cuddle form is just to get you to better accept them.
Oh, yeah. No, you got to
But you got to look through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to like Paw Patrol.
Shit.
As a means of indoctrinating the youth into accepting police state. Yeah. But I'm wondering, is it at all possible that the creator of the Care Bears may have made this as an extraordinarily convoluted parody of religious fundamentalism?
It may have been their intent, but I find it unlikely. If they did so as a parody, they did it far too much. And instead of parody became actual. It's like when The Onion gets a news article, right?
Yeah.
Before it's time.
Fuck.
Like, you're like, well, that's silly and ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, like so many symbols that have been co-opted by terrible people, it doesn't matter what the original intent was. It has been co-opted by terrible people and therefore needs to stop being a thing.
And who the hell tries to write parody for children at, like, a high level whatever?
I mean, like Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I don't know that was intended for children.
Yeah.
Don Coyote and Sancho Panda.
I'm not familiar with these at all.
That was a cartoon.
I've never heard of this.
No?
Yeah.
What era was this?
The late, like middle to late 90s? Don Quixote and Sancho Panza.
It's like Zorro.
No, it, like...
Like Don Quixote,
Don
but...
Quixote.
Oh.
But Sancho Panza.
Coyote.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got the reference.
But it was a cartoon. I think they had maybe 12 episodes.
I think that's a much more obvious parody, though.
Oh, fair.
Like, I don't know that... The best you can do for the religious right parody aspect of it is the fact that they're watching you from the clouds.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's... But I don't think that's a... It's too subtle. It's too subtle.
So, do you think that
it might be
just...
I think James is right. That sounds religious to me.
Well, yes.
I just said it was religious. Yeah. But is it intentional propaganda or is it sideways parody gone awry, I think, is the argument. And I think it's intentional.
No, that I... Yeah, I was...
You think that the intentions are in earnest and not in satire?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Or just pure accident.
Yeah,
well, there's that. The social zeitgeist.
Well, especially in, like, the 1980s,
right.
During Satanic Panic.
Yeah.
If you're going to make toys that walk and talk, they should reflect...
Jesus.
Oh.
Well, and huh. I mean...
Yeah.
I think you've hit the nail upon the top.
And there was a teddy bear scare. Like, religious people said the teddy bear was terrible.
Oh,
yeah.
This is awesome.
I did not know that.
Oh, were you not? You need to listen to an episode of formerly Pessimist Archive, now called Build for Tomorrow. The podcast used to be primarily about things that we consider ubiquitous that used to be considered the downfall of civilization.
Oh, yeah. Comic books and movies and television and
gramophone,
radio. Dancing.
Bicycles. And, you know, because women could leave the house all by themselves, those hussies.
Right. Absolute downfall.
But teddy bears were absolutely, like, preachers would preach that teddy bears were terrible because dolls taught kids to be nurturing to babies, whereas teddy bears were not human, and therefore they were not learning to be nurturing, and therefore they were not going to nurture the next generation, and the next generation was going to grow up to be Satan.
Huh.
Oh yeah, no,
it's... like all of them combined would form one giant Satan.
Yeah
yes,
some
Voltron like
Satan Voltron. No, but yes, absolutely, that was a thing. There was totally a church preaching against teddy bears thing.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Yeah. Like, I've read chick tracts. I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
I'm just dismayed.
Yeah. I'm not angry. I'm just,
disappointed.
Mm-hmm. No, but I think that's a really solid thesis.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like,
indeed.
Again. Mm-hmm.
It's the Care Bear to white supremacy pipeline.
Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So... Also, walking, talking teddy bears are just creepy as fuck.
I mean, there's that, too.
That's, my brother said that he's gonna have, if I die before him, he's gonna have Teddy Ruxpin deliver my eulogy. With Jim Cunningham's voice.
I think this is an excellent plan.
I won't care. I'll be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Afterlife or no, I'll be dead.
Mm-hmm.
I won't care.
Yeah.
Like, what's it gonna do, scare me to death? Unlikely. Too late.
So anyway, yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. I really recommend people go and watching the videos. Mm-hmm. They're on just Google BaFest and you'll see their website. They've got a bunch of videos on there, but they've got them on YouTube.
Send them
an email,
ask them when the next one is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, their website right now says, like, these couple have been canceled due to COVID, and that was a couple years ago, so I don't know. And their Facebook page also
I hope they haven't given up on it. Yeah,
it's possible they have, and if they have, then you know, it had a good run. But the videos still exist out there, and I recommend people give them a look, because awesome. They are
excellent.
Like, they're really funny, and like I said, they are presented in such a sincere way, and if you don't think about it too much, it really does kind of make sense in a disturbing way.
Yeah,
as you kind of sit there going, this is really funny, but I see where they're going.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, he had charts. He was you know, you love dad jokes up until this age, and then it drops off, and that is when we really hammer into them.
Oh, that's why I've never loved them. I've always wanted out of the house.
And it doesn't happen instantly. You know, you can't just start saying dad jokes and they leave instantly. It's got to build up after a time. You know, you got to keep persisting with this, and after a while, they just go, fine, I just got to get out of this place. So
there was a TED Talk called The 4 AM Conspiracy.
Have you guys seen this?
Oh, we should post a link for that, because if listeners have not seen this, it's a guy just talking about how all of the great important secret things seem to happen at 4 a.m. And making all of these connections between various people's birthdays and times that, like, oh my God, song lyrics.
This is different from the one that I was thinking of. There was a TED Talk that was entirely about what constitutes, and maybe this is the same one, I'm just not remembering.
What constitutes
the middle of the night?
I don't think that was the focus.
I think he kind of starts with that and then leads into this other thing.
Maybe so.
But he talks about, it's 3 p.m. is still, you're just up really late. 3 a.m. is just still up really late, and 5 a.m. is up early, whereas 4 a.m. is that magic hour of
all stories where you're awakened from a sound sleep and something bad is happening.
And that's where things wrap into that.
4 a.m. Yep. Oh, okay. So it is. All right.
You were just focused on very different aspects of it. Yep.
All right.
I will try to find that.
That is how I got into TED Talks, by the way.
Oh, hey.
I saw that and I went, is there anything else like this? And there wasn't much more like that, but there was still good stuff with the TED Talks. Do you think they would be interested in PowerPoint karaoke for this thing?
Because
PowerPoint karaoke
PowerPoint karaoke was improvised, and this is...
No, and I don't mean doing it as a part of, like, this is my theory, PowerPoint karaoke. I mean just like a side entertainment thing or a whatever.
The events ever come back, I think it would probably fit. It seems like the same style of humor, definitely. Right. But yeah.
Oh,
anyway,
God,
that's what I had to talk about, because I was listening to Stuff You Missed in History Class, and one of them mentioned something about, I was just at BAFEST, because I'm listening to episodes from like 2019.
Sure.
And I was like, BAFEST, what is that? And I started, I Googled it, and I was like, oh, what is this?
What the also, that's shit? A stupid
I have podcast. To tell James about this immediately.
Well, I am deeply excited about it.
And then you waited.
And then I waited until the podcast where I could tell everyone.
Thank you, honey. That's really sweet. Yeah.
Well, this is the first time I've seen him, so.
That too.
That's fair.
Anyway, dear listeners, if you have a bad ad hoc hypothesis, we would love to hear them.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes, please.
Because they're awesome, and some people have some real doozies that are just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? Maybe if we have enough people who want to put something together, we can maybe do something for, like, Fearless Fest or something.
Ooh.
Could be fun. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a bit. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
I'm going to grow my hair out to the ish, I think. Stop.
To where-ish?
There-ish.
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 Mm-hmm.
My hair-ish will be there-ish.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
Today
right,
is Fast...
That is better.
Right?
Yeah.
When it's two of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just the two of you. Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Stack, formerly Stedham.
Stack is...
Can you dig it?
Amazing. Yeah. I like this.
This isn't the first time this has been told to us,
James. This is...
Okay.
Okay.
But out of the three of us, I think I can be forgiven for... I think I can be forgiven for forgetting one thing.
No, this is absolutely a me thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We went from Stedham.
I have a brain injury.
Yeah, you don't remember we went from Stedham to Stack? Now you remember?
Yeah, I do, yeah. That was the problem. I couldn't recall the jingle, and that made it difficult.
Gotcha. Okay. Opening thoughts. I don't have anything really. Enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well then.
All right. Let's get to it. Question number one. One or two?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Well, one is the loneliest number. Two. I know we make that joke every time we ever get this.
I know.
And I'm probably going to answer the same way I've answered every time we've gotten this question, and two is better than one.
Would you rather play by yourself or with somebody else?
I'm greedy.
Oh. Single player or multiplayer, Salsa?
Multiplayer usually implies more than two, though.
No, that's massively multiplayer.
No.
That's why MM.
Yes, massively is thousands of people.
Mm.
Multiplayer is up to 16.
Wow. There's a definition that I don't know where that got pulled out of.
Okay, but Salsa also says that a couple is two.
It's because a couple...
Everyone agrees with Salsa about that, but...
It's because a couple is two.
Right.
It's literally the definition of a couple.
A couple is like three or four.
No, that's a few.
I'm with Salsa on the couple.
A few for me is like one or two. Like if somebody's like, oh yeah, have a few... I would have one or two.
No.
But if someone's have a couple.
Have a couple is two.
Two is a couple.
The definition of a couple is two.
Now, maybe you're thrown because you have multiple coupleships.
Right.
Yes, but...
But they're each their own individual coupleship.
You have,
sometimes.
You have a few coupleships.
But then it's not a couple, it's like a... quad or a triad or
I know that thruple is a thing, but
because
I also...
couple is also a thing.
I'm just, for me, a few is a smaller number than a couple.
You are wrong. You are absolutely wrong.
That
and for you, farts and dick jokes are funny.
Well, now wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I'm going with two.
I'm going to go with number one. I think... Well, no. Changing my mind. I'll go with number two. If I go to a fast food restaurant I've never been to, I'm probably more likely to order something that's the number two special than the number one combo.
That's a terrible idea. You don't order one of the combos. Don't order some of them, because those are the ones that they gouge you on. Go down menu. Go down menu. That's where the cheap stuff is.
Okay.
You're going to get so much more food for the same price if you go down menu.
Huh. All right.
Stack. Whoa. I'm going to go two.
All right.
No reason. Just
now
I'm stuck on this couple thing, and it's definitely two.
Fuck.
All right. Question number two. Clump or line?
So when you're trying to get into something.
I was thinking the same thing.
Like a theater or whatever.
Yeah, we're not British, so we don't queue. We clump.
We clump.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. So yeah, I'm going clump.
I'm going clump.
Also, I just love the word clump.
Clump.
It's a really good word.
I don't think I like the way that clump feels to say.
It's a funny word, though.
It is a funny word.
Clump. Yeah.
Clump. It's definitely
the,
a funny word.
The hard K and the...
And the plosive.
Plosive.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's a good comedy word.
Clump.
Clump.
Clump is a good comedy word, but...
And it has the
No, every part of it is beautiful. Comedy gold. Dear listener, that was real deep comedy nerd shit happening right there.
So, in Italy, the way that they queue is to use El Ultimo, which is just everybody fucks off and does whatever they want, but you just remember the person who's in front of you, and when that person goes, you're next.
Yeah.
And that's more of a clump method.
I think I would call that clump, yeah.
So, and then there's the British queuing system, which for, like, supermarkets, they wait for the next available register instead of waiting in register lines.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is that?
That's a queue.
I think that's
okay,
a line.
So yeah.
Okay,
I think that's my queue. That's my preference.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go with line.
All right.
I hate the American system of everybody choosing a lane of
but that's a line
lane
that's a line
I, yeah okay
that's a line we're talking about like getting into a club or something like that you don't stand patiently looking at the shoulders of the person in front of you you group up and clump
Shit I do that fuck all right clump
clumps all around
sold me on clump
clumps all around
orange whip. Orange whip.
Bartender.
Three orange whips.
Three clumps. Question number three. Metal or glass?
Glass.
I think glass.
I would rather have a glass figurine than a pewter one.
I like working with glass more than working with metal. I like the look of glass more than the look of metal.
Really?
Metal for me is such a cold, heartless, dead medium.
Like, I don't know if they still have them, but they had a person a while back that sold copper roses out at Fest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have some of those, and they're pretty, and they last a long time,
yeah.
But the glass roses are so much
better. Yeah, no.
So much more elegant.
I know how to do a lot of stuff with metal, but it's such a dead thing, whereas, like, glass and leather and wood are just these vibrant, living mediums for art.
Yet another thing on which you and I very much disagree.
Mm. This is also why I despise stainless steel aesthetic in kitchens. And
things
like that.
I don't like stainless steel aesthetic in a kitchen.
I mean, I definitely prefer wood in a kitchen.
Yeah.
What, wood and stone.
Wood, stone. Cast iron.
Cast iron. No, cast iron is good. Yeah, but I don't think glass is going to be the opposite of cast iron on this one.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
I like Philip Glass as a composer.
I'm sorry, what?
I like the style of Philip Glass. As a composer. As opposed to heavy metal, I guess.
I like heavy metal.
So I would choose
glass. I like that a lot of heavy metal is classically influenced.
I like that too. Like Apocalyptica does the classical...
Well, even Metallica, though, has like specific flourishes and things that you find in classical music.
Oh, yeah. Listen to some like operatic metal, like Nightwish or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that stuff.
Absolutely. But there's the Philip Glass repeating patterns, like the rapid staccato and
the motifs,
and repeating patterns.
Yeah. Happens in classical music as well. Yeah.
Flosses my brain.
It happens in metal too.
I don't hear that particular like
that's
the over and over again as a whole music thing in metal.
That's fair.
So, yeah, I guess I'll choose glass.
Okay. Question number four. Ooh, stained glass or mosaic?
Stained glass. Oh my God, stained glass.
Okay.
Fucking, I love stained glass.
I love stained glass, but a really well done mosaic is really nice. Like some of the floor mosaics that I saw when I was in Greece.
Okay.
And I believe you, but I was so sad that my house, even though it has the 100-year thing going for it, didn't have any stained glass. And so I got decals to make it look like it had stained glass. And I think they work really well. Too. Like, way they classier do. Than I thought they would.
They do look nice.
But, like, I...
I'm looking at doing a very similar thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I should make stained glass again.
Yes.
It's been a while.
Someone that I'm dating has a just an old stained glass window that was recovered. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, we had a few in our old house.
She's got it like wired next to the window, like wired in front of the window for her bed, for her bedroom.
Yeah, do you remember our old kitchen?
Yes.
It had that stained glass in there. We unfortunately had to leave it. When we were moving out, the owners of the house were like, no, we want to keep that. And I was like, okay, fine.
But suppose you own it.
All right.
No, I like stained glass, but after seeing those mosaics last year...
Yeah, you grew up next to the Corn Palace.
I did, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. I believe that your opinion on this is tainted.
I don't think the Corn Palace did it, though. I think being in Greece last year really solidified it.
You and your
it was a year ago.
Palaces of corn.
Today, I was in Greece.
Your toes in the sea.
Yeah, I'm going mosaic.
All right.
All right.
Question number five. Beef or Italian sausage?
Fuck.
Oh, it's Italian sausage. Absolutely.
I mean, my inclination is Italian sausage.
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean closer to Italian sausage on this. As much of a fan of beef as I am, I think I'm going to go with, like, on a pizza, sausage over beef. With the exception of, like, if you get a Philly cheesesteak pizza.
Yeah.
Now, I think, for me, it kind of depends on what the dish is. I would rather have tacos with ground beef than an Italian sausage.
Sure.
That's a good point. So you're saying the context is somehow important here.
What?
God damn it. I'm mad about this.
I mean, fine. Chorizo is obviously the correct answer for tacos, but
yeah. I mean, Joe's been making a lot of goulash, because goulash is amazing.
Yeah.
The last time we put kielbasa in it, that was great. Mm-hmm. But he's done it with Italian sausage, and that was also really good. I'm going Italian sausage.
Yeah,
now I just want goulash, really, is where I'm at.
Yeah.
I had, it was a chili that I had, where they had, like, Italian sausage and Polish sausage and chorizo and like deer meat and a bunch of
Joe's done it with like bison.
Because not only do you get the different tastes, but you get the different textures.
Yeah.
You know, it's real good.
Yeah, he did a bison lamb once that was real fucking tasty.
That sounds amazing.
I've never had the
those would really complement each other too.
Wow. Yeah, they did.
I had never had the diced up Polish sausage in there. And it had that nice texture to it, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to the context. Question number one or two. Context. Would you rather crochet, one, or knit, two?
Neither.
If you don't know either, which would you like to learn?
Neither. Here's my thing. My mom was a huge crocheter. Tried to teach me crochet, but she was a very bad teacher and got very frustrated with me very quickly. I have since tried to learn how to do things, and I can do a crochet chain. And I can do double crochet, which is all you really need to know how to do basic crochet shit. Sure. But it's very basic. But I've never been good at spacing. Like the spacing in yarn. I always keep going like tighter and tighter.
Same.
And I have zero desire to get any better at it.
Fair.
And I look at knitting and I'm like, oh God, that just looks like somehow both more and less work. And I'd still fuck it up somehow. So I have no interest in that either. So my actual answer is neither. However, the one that I do have more experience with would be crochet.
Gotcha.
So if I had to pick something, I guess one.
Hmm.
I'm really kind of the same answer as Jenna. I have tried to learn.
My mom tried to teach you how to crochet and got frustrated.
No, but other people, I have been taught how to both crochet and knit by various people. Mm-hmm. And I just found no joy in any of it. It did not interest me in the slightest. I got bored with it immediately.
And I've had people be like, oh, that's so sad that you don't like it. I'm like, I it's not sad. I just don't care.
I don't like it. Yeah,
I don't have a desire to like it. I'm not downhearted that I don't like it.
I have plenty of other things to occupy my time. This is not a problem.
Right.
If I had to choose one, I think the one I hated less was crocheting.
Right.
I still want to learn to knit on double-pointed needles, and I still have a project to make on double-pointed needles, so knitting.
Okay.
Everybody's like, you could just use Magic Loop, and I'm like, yeah, I could just drive automatic, too, but that's not how my brain works. I'm sorry.
I love driving an automatic.
Yeah, lots of people do.
Frees up a hand and a foot. Yeah. It's great.
I could not juggle, but that's... Making things overly complicated for fun is the thing I do.
Right.
Right.
Question number two, clump or line? Mm. Would you rather do needle felting, clump, or cross-stitching, line?
Cross-stitching.
Probably cross-stitching.
Cross-stitching.
I've done cross-stitching. I haven't done needle felting.
I've also, I've done cross-stitching, and I've seen needle felting, and that, no, I don't want to touch that.
Needle felting is, that's a difficult,
I don't want to touch that.
Hard thing.
I mean, there's a little, like, it looks intriguing to me, and I wouldn't mind trying it, but, like, cross-stitch or needlework of any kind, that's, I'm kind of at home there. I like the vibe of it.
It looks intriguing, and I appreciate watching someone else doing it.
The only thing that I would want to felt is, like, a little tiny red panda.
Yeah.
Aww. That'd be adorable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But that's basically it.
Yeah.
I don't have a strong desire for it. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I've done cross-stitch, and it was fun.
I'm not as opposed to it as I am crochet or
yeah. Nay. As someone who did a lot of pixel art, who has done a lot of pixel art, who continues to do a lot of pixel art, cross-stitching is basically that.
Basically. Mm-hmm. But I can absolutely see you making little needle-felted things.
Oh, yeah. It's
the tinier and like super adorable.
Yeah,
like,
just I can see you doing
super
that.
Super tiny little felted animal.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I could.
But
see
I still think, I still think I would make tiny.
Basically, I just like stabbing things. So
yeah, these are both very stabby. But
so
yes.
I'm okay with either.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three: metal or glass? Which would be more interesting? Taking a blacksmithing class or a glass blowing class?
Oh man, they're both.
Fuck.
They're both. Yeah, no, I
they'd
concur.
They'd both be very interesting. I think. Shit.
No, that's a real tough one.
Something about blacksmithing appeals to me on a chemical level, and like
I think it's because of your shoulder. You got blacksmithing shoulders.
It does. It kind of does.
You look.
I
like
may just
you
be
could,
built for it.
Yeah. Whereas I think it would be adorable if I attempted blacksmithing.
I think you would pick, like, the largest hammer. Some people are like, are you sure? And you're like, get out of my fucking way.
Oh, no,
way
Jenna
right
would
now.
Absolutely do that.
You're about to see some shit. I've got 43 years of aggression.
And then it would be pink, so nobody
suddenly,
else took her hammer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Suddenly have a desire to weight lift again. Weight lifts.
Huge
lift
pink hammer
again.
Is my Violent Femmes cover band.
Ooh, nice.
I've done both, and I think the one that I... Glass blowing... In many respects, is a lot more frustrating and delicate.
Hmm.
But at the end of the day, your shoulders don't hurt as much.
See, and I think I would like a lot of that more delicate aspect to the glass blowing.
Mm-hmm. No, I absolutely don't. I wasn't saying I didn't like the delicate aspect of it. I do like that delicate aspect of it, but it can be very frustrating.
Sure.
When you're done and the glass breaks and you're like, well, fuck. It's absolute waste. Whereas blacksmithing, you fuck something up, you're like, all right, you just hammer on it some more and fix it. Yeah, at the end of the day, blacksmithing, your arms and your shoulders hurt, whereas glass blowing or your lamp work or any other, you know, stained glass that I've done, it's just like, you have this thing and it's pretty. So I think I'm going to go with glass blowing.
All right.
I think if I had to choose the next thing to do, that I would choose blacksmithing. And so that's
I think I would choose glass blowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
My only problem with glass blowing, like actual blowing of the glass, is that, like, I'm a smoker.
I was going to say, you've got tiny smoker's lungs.
I've actually got some exceptionally deep lungs.
Uh-huh.
But they're still smoker lungs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I go to the dentist and they go to give me nitrous, they have to give me an extra 15 minutes. Because I have so much lung to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, yeah. I still have too much oxygen going on.
No, that's if you're an active smoker, you can actually, like, when I was a big smoker when I was living in the Alps, but I was still walking up and down fucking mountains.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's I had lung capacity like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know.
I have a side tangent. Surprise.
On this show?
I know. So we all know Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah. I once did.
Gonna be seeing him in a few days.
Say hi.
Yeah,
we'll do.
To both the kids for me.
Yes.
But we had a fight together, and we're doing this fight. We're rehearsing the fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to build up to speed, right? We've got the choreography. We're building up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept running out of breath. And I was like, at one point, I was like, "Okay, dude, look." I think at the time I was 38. I am a 38-year-old smoker that is completely not fit. I don't exercise. I don't whatever. The only reason you are winded right now is because you're not breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you fucking built. Like, mm-hmm. Exercises, oh, yeah. Everything mm-hmm. else. Mm-hmm. One of our opening show things is I would sit on his back and he would do push-ups with me sitting on his back. Like, built ass. 20-year-old or 20-something guy.
Yeah, he was like semi-pro wrestler and shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was getting winded during our fights. I'm like, there is no...
Because he's holding his breath.
No way that I have better lung capacity than you do. Breathe or die, asshole.
Breathe. Like,
it's hard to remember.
It is hard to remember. It's one of the reasons why vocalizing is very important. In a fight is because if you're pushing air out, then you remember to bring it back in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it also helps sell intention, but it is one of those, oh, I just screamed, now it's time to inhale.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why vocalizing is important.
Mm-hmm. And martial arts, that's why they start with breathing exercises.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Question number 4, stained glass or mosaic? Which one would be more difficult for you personally?
You've done stained glass, so...
I've done stained glass, but...
I haven't ever worked in glass, so I'm assuming that one's going to be more difficult. Like, if you've done tiling, that's like doing mosaic work, right?
Kind of. I think really some of the question is going to come down to color with me.
Well, you're just going to have problems with color.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly. I'm kind of, how much of this is just creating a thing and how much of this is going off of like a pattern or something like that?
See, I could color a thing all goddamn day. I'm going to say stained glass will probably be harder for me.
I've seen them use the pliers to like break the glass in very particular ways, and that seems
tricky,
harder than cutting it with a saw or a wheel.
Oh, you can't with glass.
No, I know, that's why I'm saying versus mosaic.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like tiles or pottery that you can cut.
Honestly, if you score it correctly, you're gonna be fine.
Oh, well.
My brain went to music when you said score it correctly.
That too. Yeah, as long as you're listening to good music. Yeah. As long as you're listening to metal.
I don't know on this one.
I think stained glass would be more difficult, but more gratifying for me.
I think mosaic might be the more difficult one for me, due to my attention span. I feel like with the glass, I cut the piece of glass to the size it needs to be, whereas with the mosaic, you need to fill in a space with little pieces.
Right.
And after a while, filling in pieces into trying to fill a space with little pieces would get very boring for me. I think I would get dull. I would get squirrely quicker with it.
Fair.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that would actually be the thing I'd enjoy with it, is getting all the tiny pieces and arranging.
And I could be wrong.
That.
I might give it a try and find it's completely my zen, but that's my guess. So you said glass.
I said glass might be more difficult.
You said glass.
I think, yeah.
Okay. Question number four. Oh, no. Question five. Sorry.
Yeah.
Five.
Beef or Italian sausage? Which do you think goes better in a pasta sauce with a starting base of onion and garlic? Sorry, Jenna.
Sausage.
For a pasta sauce, give me the Italian sausage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I'll do beef, don't get me wrong, but like, Italian sausage. Yep.
Closing thoughts on this says, I've been on a craft learning kick this fall. Yeah. Fuck yes. I love that.
That is fantastic news.
Yes. Hope your holiday goes well. Cheers. Love it. Oh, I love learning things. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please go to a1podcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, fill out the form, hit Submit. You're done. That's it. Does anybody have a shout out?
I want to give a shout out to all of those that invited me to various things over the past weekend, except for salsa.
Yeah.
Raiderly, though.
Yeah.
That's definitely fair. Story gets checks that out. Shout out.
Yep.
So.
I don't have to sell that couch to you.
I'm leaving $100 in this house too late.
I want to give a shout out to, the people that I did the horror podcast with, because they came up with the idea and I just got to, you know, hang out and ride in the passenger seat and have a sleep and, you know, stop at the gas station and buy snacks, basically. It was my role in the thing. And then I got to edit it, which was weirdly soothing. Yeah. So... thank you to Shay, Jeff, and Jax.
Yay.
I'm actually going to give my shout out to Tasting History with Max Miller. Because no fewer than four dishes that I had over the weekend were from his channel.
Nice.
Yeah, like I made a couple and my sister-in-law made one and I think Radley made one. Like we were all just like, here's our opportunity to make things.
Yeah.
I just made cornbread.
Cornbread. Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Although watching Joe help with that beef Wellington, I was just like, you are so pretty right now. The way he wrapped it.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Anyway.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
I do not have personal things, but I do have friends doing things, and I'm going to go see them. So, Four Pints Shy is playing at Kieran's. They're playing, I believe, this Friday and Saturday, and at least next Friday. That's where I stopped, because I'm going on the 9th.
Well, all right.
So, I'll be at Kieran's on the 9th, if anybody wants to show up and hang out. It's an honorable life. It's a Klingon thing.
Huh.
I'm not involved this year, but so many of my friends are.
Yeah.
And they're opening this weekend as well.
Ooh.
It is a delightful time. It's a delightful cast.
Mm-hmm.
High recommend. They're going to be going pretty much weekends of December, although I think they have a few Thursday shows as well. And I will be going to that one on Friday, December 16th. So if anybody wants to get tickets and hang out with me, that's when I'm going to it. Hmm. Tickets for that can be found at the Mounds Theater website, I believe, or away there. You don't need tickets for a pint shy. Just show up, but tip well.
Mm-hmm.
Is basically what that is. So, yeah. That's what I know about. So come hang out with me.
Yeah.
All right. James? No? Okay.
Nope.
All right. Neither do I at this moment. So in that case, is there any final thoughts?
Bye, bye. Love you. Bye, bye, bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you to Stack, formerly Stedham. For sending in the Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I...
Just go ahead.
Pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.